community saved, and they will be truly experiencing the love of God. We want to give you the opportunity to get involved with that. So if you want to get involved with our summer parks programs, please see Tammy Sumi or meet us out at the Info Center for more information. Also, as most of you know, this Thursday is July 4th. Who is excited for that? Okay, I expect a little bit more excitement. Who's excited for July 4th? Yeah, don't call me. Phone's going to be off. I'm going to be eating. It's going to be great. But also, it does fall on a Thursday, and our offices are normally open on Thursdays. But this Thursday, the office will be closed. All classes will be canceled. Please enjoy the time with your family and your friends. Amen? Right, we're going to have Pastor Rondo up.
I was just processing that information. That's great information. Thank you. No classes on Thursday night. Good to know. So as we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, how many of you love the Word of God? This is our manual for living. It has everything that we need for life and godliness. And we love the scripture, Romans 10:13. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many of you believe that scripture? Yes, it's our salvation. And then Exodus 20:16, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie. We believe that scripture, right? You believe that in here? Well, another scripture from our manual is Malachi 3:10. And the same book that says that we can be saved when we call on his name, the same book that gives us the Ten Commandments also tells us right here to bring the whole tithe. Tithe simply means 10% of your income. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. Amen. So the Word of God, our manual for living, we can't just pick and choose the scriptures that we like that work for us. We have to listen to the whole Word of God. So in Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there is food in the Lord's house. Amen. If you're ready to give this morning, stand to your feet. We're going to make a supernatural declaration. This is simply the Word of God. It's the promises of God in Deuteronomy 28. Now, there's a whole list of curses in that chapter, too. But we're not declaring those over our lives, right? We're going to declare the promises of God. And it says, if you'll repeat after me, if I obey, then I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, go ahead and give right along with us. You can click on the giving button or even text to give.
Declare.
Hey guys, how are you today? Look, I know it's not super summer weather today, but it's still beautiful. 72, sunny, no rain, no humidity. I felt like I was in Florida yesterday, a Florida morning all day long, just wearing a wet, hot blanket all day. It was horrible. Hey, but guess what? We have Uproar Conference in 1 month, which is so stinking exciting. If you don't know what conference is, if you're newer to the body here, we're going on our 8th year of hosting a youth and young adult conference, which has been amazing. We started here with like 300 kids the first year, and it has grown and grown and grown and grown to where we're on our 3rd year at the arena this year. And the last 2 years, we've seen 1,000 people through the building, and we're believing that this year is going to be even better and more impactful. And I just wanted to give you guys a couple opportunities, but before I did that, I want to show you a video of what the Lord laid on our heart this year and what we're going to be doing. And conference is really like, it's been great for the last 7 years, but I believe that this year we're going to start embarking on the newest and what the Lord has for our next season. So if you can turn your attention to the sides, we're going to play a video showing kind of what the Lord's directing us to do.
More than 200 people have been killed, and hundreds of others have been wounded.
After a person with a gun fired several shots into a classroom.
You can go out here and get drunk and get a little peace. You can go out and take some drugs and have some little peace and tranquility. The Bible says this pleasure in sin for a short season.
There are 7.5 billion people living on the face of the planet today, 70% of which are hopelessly wandering through life, empty, with no future or purpose. You have what they are longing for. You have the solution.
Jesus Christ said, I am the way. Come to Christ.
You are called to be a minister of the gospel.
I've come to spread the fire of heavenly love upon the earth.
God has empowered you for a time like this and is waiting for you to take action. So the question is simple. What if?
What if on September 16th, 2019, you decide not to go to school as a student, but as a missionary? What if 5, 10, 50 people come to know Jesus? What if an entire lunchroom is turned upside down in the name of Jesus and they come to know about his salvation and his love? What if you commit to be a missionary in the greatest mission field you might ever see, which is your middle school, high school, or college? We're calling and commissioning for 5,000 students on September 16th, 2019 for the very first National Day of Youth Evangelism. We want to see this generation come to know Jesus. We're ready to turn the world upside down. Are you ready to commit?
God loves our world. He loves you so much that he gave his son to die on the cross to bring peace.
So we're kind of doing a thing. And it blows my mind. No one has done this before. And I'm so excited to launch 5,000 students. We have 2 other conferences that are partnering with us this year. And I know when we start posting and start pushing it, we're going to see a massive, massive shift. We're praying for 25,000 teenagers in one day to give their life to Jesus. And that's stinking exciting. And we have a slide real quick. But honestly, conference in itself has been amazing. Up to this date, can you put your hands together for yourselves? You've been able to support conference for about $360,000 so that over 3,000 students have been able to hear the gospel 100% free of charge. And many of them have brought the message of Jesus home, and that's our heart, that's our goal. And this year is going to be just the same. Also, with What If, man, we're not just going to have them share Jesus. I want them to grow in what they are and what Jesus has for them. We can put those slides up, guys. And what we're doing is we're actually having a text message system where we can text up to 25,000 people with basic discipleship on like what you just did to give your life to Jesus. What's your next step? How do you find a church? And to rally these students around, we're across the nation. And this isn't the fullness. This is just the start. But yeah, 100% free gospel. We have a power and they have a party. And then with What if you jump to the next slide. This is it, mobilizing 5,000 students. I can't go to the school like they can. You can't go to the school like they can. I know I can look back and wish I did what we're asking them to do. And I know you do as well. training through videos and texts, encouragement, and sharing the message of Jesus on September 16th, 2019. Last slide real quick. Pastor's coming up. You know he's excited. So we have a couple ways to partner. One, I'd love for you to volunteer at conference. You can go to theupperrow.org and click on volunteer at the top. Also, with this, I'd love for you to pray with us. We're praying 25,000 students, 2,500 in attendance at conference, 500 saved at Upper Room, 5 What If Nights regionally. And by the way, we just partnered with a major, major denomination in New Jersey. Over 55 youth ministries in the middle of October. We're going to be in front to challenge them to go into their school system as well. More info on that coming soon. Financially, man, we want to grow conference and What If out of the window. And if you feel led to give, I'm not going to, and there's no gimmicks. I don't care about that. If you feel on your heart, I want to empower this generation to win their generation here on the earth. I want to partner with this. There's a green envelope next to you. If there's not one next to you, you can shoot your hand up. We have some of the Bible college students with envelopes. But look, we're ready to take this nation, and it's not going to happen just by us in the church. It's going to happen in the school systems. Yeah. They said by the age of 18, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, 80% of people will not. And that's why we're there. That's why this is so important. And 5,000 is just the starting point. I can't wait to see what happens from a computer and horse heads.
Now, remind you, this is not an event. This is a movement.
It's a rally. Yeah, it's a movement.
This is a movement. You've heard of prayer at the pole? Yeah. National Day of Prayer? That's what this is going to be. And already we're going to get connected all over the world. It's not going to be just in America. Yeah. We're going to be all over the world. It's going to be through Mexico as well. So we get the opportunity, and I thank God that he places on Pastor Cody's heart. He's a visionary. What God put on his heart, we know is going to come to fruition. Right now, we have one of the greatest, I'm not even saying this just to say this, hear me now. We have one of the greatest youth conventions in the entire Northeast. It's one of the only Pentecostal, unabashed, unashamed of the gospel of God youth ministries out in the Northeast. People get baptized in the Holy Ghost. They get healed. Going out in the Holy... I mean, it's just a supernatural experience. What If is going to be of a large event. So I challenge you. I challenge you to ask the Holy Spirit what he would want you to do. And if it's monthly, I would challenge you to do monthly. My wife and I do weekly because I believe in what God is doing. And if we don't reach this generation, who is? Amen? What if? What if? What if? The next movement that's going to take the world, and we get to be part of the launching of it. Isn't that exciting? Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Cody, are you done?
So look, right with your envelope, you can fill it out. We'll have a bucket in the back as you leave. Also, you can text the partner just as you do on Sundays. There's a number. There was a number. You can text our number as well for the church. But thank you guys, and we're excited to have Upper Conference and What If. It's going to be crazy this year.
It is amazing. I think what blows people away that come to visit our church, these large speakers that literally travel all over the world, is that in the middle of a cornfield, God is literally doing things that are affecting not only this town, not only this region, but God is using us to touch the state. God is using us to touch the world. We are very blessed and privileged that God is using our lives. I have 10 His Tabernacle Family Church car stickers available for you. If you would like one, come and get it. There's 3. There we go. All right. Praise the Lord. If you want another one, I'm going to give 10 away the next service as well. Please take my advice. Do not put them on the inside of your window. They go on the outside. Amen? We also have something else for you when you're leaving today, and it's this. It says, I think you'd love my church. It's an invitation card. I'll save you a seat. Everybody in the room is getting 3 of them a week. Amen. They're in the ice cream shop in Alpine. Amen. 3 a week. We're going to give them to you. So you have tools to invite your friends. You have tools to invite people you've never met before at Walmart or at Target or while you're getting your cafe, glory to God. But I want to challenge you, and we're going to give everybody 3 of them, and what a great opportunity to invite someone to your church. on the back, it says every Sunday, and it has Horseheads Campus, Ithaca Campus, Mansfield Campus, all on there. So a great tool for you. I'm very excited today. Last week was my last message on faith, and I tried. I really did try. How many of you know that I preached a very long time last week? You should have said no. That would have been a better answer. I did, but I'll be honest with you. You know, Kenneth Copeland has a mindset, and I don't take his mindset, but I love Kenneth Copeland. How many of you love Brother Kenneth Copeland? Great man of faith. And Brother Kenneth says this. He says, when you go to his conference, you're literally in his conference for 12 hours a day, and you only get 2 hours off out of the 12. And he says the reason he does that is because he wants your flesh to become weak so it will shut up and your spirit can grow. Isn't that interesting? My hiney was very sore. I have a message that I wanted to share with you. This is the last message on Next Level Faith. I've been overwhelmingly burdened. I'll be just straight up with you. Overwhelmingly burdened with the people of God that are in the house. And the reason is because we all need something from God. How many of you need salvation? You don't get saved but by faith. How many of you need healing in your body? You can't get healed but by faith. How many of you want to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues? You can't get baptized in the Holy Ghost without faith. Everything we need from God comes by faith. I walk by faith and not by, that means I walk. That means every single day in Him we live and move and have our being. Faith is wrapped up in every fiber of who we are. And whether we realize it or not, until we get this thing, then we're constantly struggling in our walk with God. And I'm sick and tired of you struggling with your walk with God. Are you not sick and tired of you struggling with your walk with God? Don't you want to get stable? Turn to someone and say, stabilize yourself. Stabilization is everything. That means that, and God's been speaking to me this week, actually for a while, but just this week he spoke to me this. He said, Michael, and we were watching, I believe it was Brother Freddie Price. Brother Freddie Price said this. He said, I've not had a bad day in 38 years. How can you not have a bad day in 38 years? He said, because I've learned how to walk by faith and not by sight. When you recognize that all things work together for good to those that are in Christ Jesus, when you recognize that nothing formed against you shall prosper, come on now. When you recognize that God is for you and not against you. When you recognize you've been made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. When you recognize that I walk by faith and not by sight. When you recognize these principles, then it's impossible for you to have a bad day. You know, as your pastor, it's struggle. You know, there are times that I struggle and I'll just be right up. You know, sometimes I struggle because I want to see more. I want God to do more. I want more in my own life. And listen, there are struggles in my life too. There are struggles in everybody's life. But he said, just yesterday, he said, son, when are you going to finally get this thing? Put the smile on your face and who gives a flying leap what happens around you? Because if I'm for you, there's nothing that can destroy you. When you recognize that, a smile comes across your face. A bounce comes in your step. Why? Because you're no longer walking the same way. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Until you and I recognize this portion, then we're constantly struggling. How is it that you can be sitting next to somebody right now and they get it and you don't? They find victory and you don't. They've got a smile on their face and you don't. They've got the joy of the Lord, that's their strength, and you don't. But yet you both know you're going to heaven. How is this possible? A verse my wife brought up, and I had never seen it before. I probably read it 10,000 times, but never saw it this way. And it was this, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Let he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You know, as a pastor, this is very dear to me because I have the opportunity to buy a book. I can buy a book online with 52 sermons in it for the whole year. No, really, they have them. And pastors use them all the time. They just sit back and they open, you know, June 30th, 2019, and the sermon's all done. Everything's set for them. Or you can go online to sermoncentral.com. No, really, sermoncentral.com. You just got to open it up and preach whatever. But listen now, my heart is that I want to hear from God for you. I want God to speak to us. This is not about the preacher getting his few moments. This is about, listen now, I take this so serious. I'm not standing up here giving you my word. I'm standing here giving you the word of God. I'm here standing you giving the words of God at the very moment that God has them for you. This is not just some nice little Christianette thing, but this is literally the oracle of heaven being spoken from the pulpit of God to the heart of the people. And if the heart of the people will hear what God is saying to the church and mix it with faith, their life will transition. You cannot listen to this Next Level Faith 5-week series and not be transformed. Can't. It's not possible. And I don't care how many years you've been saved. You can never hear this enough. For faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. And I want you to realize, like I told you, every night before I turn on the television, I'm watching a 30-minute message somewhere. I'm watching something that is feeding my spiritual man before I feed my sensual man as I'm watching television. We've got to get back to the reality. How is it possible that somebody next to me can grow and I'm not? It's because you're not mixing the word you're getting today with faith. How is it even the prophetic word that you heard earlier where people are wondering, oh, God, where are you? Or I was closer to you before, and Lord, I feel like you're not. How is that possible? The only way possible is we're not mixing with faith. Matthew chapter 8, verse 13 says this, and Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you believe, so let it be done for you. Whether you realize it or not, your faith plays a massive role in what you're going to receive from God. If you're struggling, it's because your faith level is low. Feed your faith. If you're not going to feed your faith, then you're going to constantly be on that roller coaster ride with Jesus. And I just want you, I'm not interested in that. You might be, but I'm not interested in that. If I want a thrill, I can go get it somewhere else. Can I hear an amen? I don't need life to throw me curveballs all the time. I need to be a good catcher behind the plate that's going to have the eyes of God that I can catch any ball, even some of those ones that are thrown kind of wild. I can get up and grab it before it hurts. Can I hear an amen or oh my? See, we've talked about this divine connection and this connection that we have. We connect to this natural world through our physical senses. We connect to the spiritual world or God's kingdom through faith. And we connect through the satanic world through doubt and fear. Whatever line you choose to live is the action that you're going to receive. If you choose to walk by faith and not by sight, then everything that heaven has for you is available for you. But if you choose to walk by fear and doubt, then everything Satan has for you to steal, kill, and destroy is available for you. And if you choose just to walk by the sensory realm, then you are just, come on now, you're just like a wet mop being ready to be thrown around any way it wants to because there's no control at all. And it's time to walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says, if we believe, as you have believed, where you put your faith is where you receive your results. Where you place your faith is what you're receiving for results. If you're planting or your faith level is more in the sensory realm, your five senses that connect yourself to this world, then that's all you're getting. That's all you have available to you. That's what you have that you're going to have to live within, which is that topsy-turvy, the uncontrolled, unreliable moments that change every single second. There is no stability. There is no normalcy. There is nothing that is solid. It is always caving in around you. If you live according to doubt and unbelief and fear, then the devil is going to steal, kill, and destroy everything you have in your life. But if you choose to walk by faith, I just sense the anointing. If you choose to walk by faith, then what happens is this, that what heaven has in the kingdom of God is available to you. It's a matter of reaching up and bringing it from heaven to earth, and that only happens but by faith. You have what you believe for. And you have what you believe for evidenced by what you speak. What are you saying? Well, you know, it's a hard day. God bless you, and it shall be. So be it as unto your faith. Well, you know, I'm struggling so badly in my body. So be it as unto your faith. Well, you know, my mind is weak. So be it as unto your faith. Well, my family, so be it as unto your faith. I make everybody make a commitment right in my premarital class. You are not even allowed to say the D word. Because the moment you are allowed to think the D word or say the D word, you will be divorced. Why? Because when it comes out of your mouth, there's life and death in the power of your tongue. But that comes from the faith that you're putting in. That faith that you're coupling with your words changes everything. You see, as believers, we've got to make a choice. We must believe the word is our title deed. That what this word says is above our senses. That what this word says is above the natural realm. What this word says is above all diabolical plots. What the word says is our guide, our nature, our breath. In him we live and move and have our being. This is all in all. But you see, as believers these days, we believe in a lot of things, but we don't believe in the whole word. We want to be free, but we want to be free our way. And I want you to realize that freedom comes from Jesus. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That comes as the word becomes the pinnacle process that we live our lives by. What the word says, what the word says. Listen, I know what your body feels like when you get up in the morning sometimes. Man, you feel like I got hit by a Mack truck and you have an opportunity. Well, I got hit by a Mack truck today. I guess today is going to be a bad one. Well, you know, I guess it's just going to be what it is. Or you have the privilege of sitting up in your bed and saying, I thank God this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I thank God that by his stripes I was healed. Not I am healed. I was healed. Because Jesus Christ did it 2,000 years ago on the cross. It's time to recognize it's not what you have in the future. It's what you've got right now. And what you have right now is what Jesus already paid for. You don't have to wonder for it. You don't have to beg for it. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We've got to start being believers. Come on, say amen. Fact is that we've got to have a point of contact. There's a spot in every one of us that releases our faith. And everybody's different. But the point comes down to is you got to know where that point is in your life. You see, you already have faith. You already have, as a son and daughter of God, everything that's available for you. There's nothing he's withholding. No good thing will I withhold. So why? God, what is it? Well, I prayed for it. Nothing happened. So I guess I'm going to pray again. Well, you didn't believe in faith. Faith says, I believe those things which are not as though they already are. Faith says, I can't see it, but I've already got it, even though I can't touch it. Come on now. Before the sensory realm can have it in your fingertips, you've already obtained it from heaven. Why? Because the word is your title deed. If the word says you got it, you've got it. If the word says it's yours, it's yours. It doesn't matter what the senses say. It doesn't matter what the Bible, what the body says. It doesn't matter what your mind says. It matters what the word says. Either you've got it, or you don't. So be it as unto your faith. Faith has everything to do with everything. So we have a choice. We have a choice in the middle of our process to say, God, well, I guess I didn't get it. Well, you know, I was hoping for it. Well, that means you're not going to get it anyways. For God is not moved by your need. God is not moved by your want. God is not moved by your hope. God is moved by faith. So what happens to us is we have good intentions, but no results. Let me say it one more time. Good intentions, but no results. You see, when you get up in the morning and you feel like a truck has hit you, you get out of that bed and you make a declaration. I thank God that I'm healthy. I thank God that Christ has made me whole. I thank God it doesn't matter what the physical senses declare. It doesn't matter what the doctor's report was. Whose report shall I believe? I believe the report of the Lord, and I decree over my body. I decree over my situation. I decree the word of God, and I stand upon the word because the word is truth. And if the word is truth, the supernatural will twist, will change, will transform the natural. That's what makes us different from the people of the world. Not just that you and I can go to heaven, but there are a lot of people going to heaven that live exactly like the people of the world. They have no real hope. They have no real supernatural power of God in their life. If they're not feeling well, they have to do the same cycle as everybody else. If they're struggling in their finances, they got to do the same thing as everybody else. I love what Miles Monroe said. He went to a bank one time, and the banker told him, no, concerning a loan for a building. And he said he just went home and talked to the bank owner. He just went back and talked to the one who owns all things. The earth and all the fullness thereof is God's. And he said, now this banker's realized is going to have to realize that I talked to the master banker and that he's going to have to do what I've asked him to do. I want you to realize that God is able to do abundantly above all you can even ask or imagine. But it's time to be people of faith. But you can't have faith unless you're going to build your faith. I got a quick little video for you. It's cute, I think. It will be cuter when it cues. We don't have a video. We don't have a video. I walk by faith and not by sight. My wife and I just found a verse this morning in the book of, what was that? Where the word is power. Wherever the word is, there's power. In the book of Luke. What? Luke 1:37, I believe, says, that no matter what, when the word is released, power is released. So even though we don't have a good video for you of somebody getting electrocuted, the purpose for the video of somebody getting electrocuted was simple. They were sticking a screwdriver in a panel trying to get it to arc. Duh. Another video was, so these guys grabbing scissors and shoving them into a socket, trying to get it to explode. Can I explain something to you? They were trying to make a connection. The connection that they were making, though, was them trying to make the connection. They had the knowledge that power was coming into that area. They had the knowledge that if they stuck this thing in this spot, that something was going to happen. And they actively went after to get a result that was not altogether promising. But I want you to recognize this. The word says that everything you need is yay and amen. The word is that plug. Baby, there's not one thing that you need that God doesn't have providing for you. But you've got to be the one that's got to go and stick that in the plug. Can I hear an amen? Mark chapter 5, I'm going to go quick now because I want to be fast today. Got to make up for last week. There's a difference between people who get from God and those who don't. I want you to recognize there's very little that I don't get. If I want something, I pray about it, I receive it, I call it done, and it is. My children are testimony of that. Whatever I've ever wanted, I pray it, I declare it, and I take it. Very rarely don't I get what I want. But it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I've learned how to call those things which are not as though they already are. I've learned how to move in faith. I've learned how to tap into heaven and bring heaven to earth. I've learned, now listen, my wife gets even more than I do. So I always try to hang out with my wife. It's smart to hang out with people that get more than you. Can I hear an amen? My wife wants a house, she just calls it in. It looks like an impossibility. It looks like it can't be accomplished, but she always gets what she wants. She wants a car. It's not a possibility. I know what she wants, and I know that you can't get a car like she wants for that price. But God, He'll make a way where there is no way. God is able, and He wants to. Turn to someone and say, God wants to. Mark chapter 5, there was a whole group of people thronging Jesus, just like you are today. You're in God's house. Thank God. Turn to someone and say, you are so intelligent. Because you're in the house of God. That is the truth. You see, you're where the corporate word is being preached, and faith is rising right now, even as you don't even understand. People are getting miracles. They're happening while you're sitting in your chair. You don't even realize it yet. God is moving mountains to give you money that you've been praying for a while. Why? Because you're sitting in His word. Some of you are getting healed. Why? Because the Bible says that God sent His word to heal us. Even while you're hearing the word, even by television, you're being healed right where you are. This man, Jairus, needed his daughter healed. She was dying. On his way, Jesus said He would go. An interruption happened. Has anybody ever had an interruption? You thought you knew you were God. You understand what God was going to do. You understood Jesus said yes, amen. But you had an idea of how God was going to pull that off. But I want you to realize, interruptions doesn't mean that Christ has stopped. What you can't see is happening behind the scenes supernaturally to meet the need that you already believe for. All of a sudden, there was a woman who had an issue of blood. She spent all of her money. She had nothing left. But she made this declaration in Mark chapter 5, verse 28. She said this, if I can touch His clothes, I will be made well. She made a declaration of faith. She made a confession of faith. And she pushed her way in. And she touched His garment. And the power of God came out and set her free, healed her body. And Jesus stopped the whole crowd and said, who touched me? When was the last time it didn't matter what the crowd was around you, but Jesus stopped and visited you? You see, that means that you've reached in faith and you pulled out of nothing into something. That means you have addressed God. Listen now, you can literally, God will change everything just for you by faith. And that was proven in Matthew chapter 25 when the woman who was an unbeliever, she came to Jesus and she said, my little girl, she is demon possessed. And Jesus said, listen now, don't bother me. I've been sent for the children of Israel, not for you. And Jesus called her a little dog. But guess what happened? He said, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. So be it as unto your faith. She went home and her baby girl was set free in the name of Jesus. I want you to realize that Christ was pulled out of, come on now, Christ was pulled out of one spiritual dimension into another because of faith. And you and I have the ability to change everything around us by faith if we choose to believe what God's word says is above your natural senses. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus spoke. He touched the leper and he was healed. His point of contact. Jesus spoke the word to the centurion servant, the point of contact. Jesus laid hands on Peter's mother-in-law, the point of contact. She was immediately healed. Jesus spit and made clay. Well, I want God to touch me, but I don't want to look weird or do anything strange. Really? Then you don't want it bad enough. See, when you want something bad enough from God, you're going to be willing to do whatever God needs you to do to get it accomplished. Jesus spit and made clay and put it on his eyes and said, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. Guess what happened? When he came out of the water, what was happening to his eyes? A miracle had happened. But you see, watch now. If he had not put action, come on now, if he had not put action to his faith, what would have happened? He'd have had spit in his eye. Some of you got spit in your eye, but because you're unwilling to obey by faith what God is asking you to do, you still got spit in the eye. But God is wanting to open your eyes and make you whole. Got awful quiet now. Say amen or oh my. Matthew chapter 14, Peter walked on the word of Jesus. Jesus said, come. You know, my wife and I found this morning, I had never seen this before. I preached this message, I can't even tell you how many times. This is so cool. When Jesus called Peter out on the water, the winds were already boisterous. The waves were already big. And he still stepped out. I didn't realize that. I thought when he got out there, that's when the winds and the waves came against him. No, 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 no. The winds and the waves were already when he stepped out in faith and he walked on water. But what happened was he dropped his faith by putting his faith in the sensory realm, what he could see, touch, smell, and so on and so forth, and took his eyes off the author of his faith, Jesus Christ. And when he did that, he began to sink. I'm almost done. How about this? Acts chapter 5. Peter's shadow was the very point of contact. They would put Peter, Peter would be walking down the road and people would take their sick people, line them up, and that shadow, when it would touch them, they'd be healed. That was their point of contact. How about Paul's clothes in Acts chapter 19? They came up to Paul and they took pieces of his clothes away because he had got done preaching. And the anointing is tangible and transferable. So they came up and they realized that the supernatural that was on Paul was going to be in that cloth because the anointing saturates. And all of a sudden they took that cloth and whoever they laid it on was healed. And whoever was demon possessed, the devil came out. Why? Because they put faith in the word of God and in the supernatural. And God set them free. How about Paul and Lystra? Paul saw this man's faith. He said, I see your faith. You can see faith. What's really sad is when I start to pray for people, and I've taught this before, but I never just pray for people. So if there's a crowd of you around the altar, I don't usually start at the beginning or the end. You know what I look for? I look for faith. I'm trying to find somebody with faith who they know that when the point of contact comes by the laying on of hands, that they're going to get their miracle. I look for that person and I can see them. And all of a sudden, that's who I usually go to first because I see that hunger and that thirsting. I see the pulling of the spirit realm. I see that they have now attached themselves to the eternal electricity, and God is waiting for that flick of the switch, and all of a sudden the power of God is going to come. I look for that person, and when I find them, that's the first person I lay hands on. I touch them through the power of the demonstration of the Spirit, and God touches their life. God heals their body. God heals their mind. God sets them free. For remember, the purpose for the anointing is to bring order in a person's life. But then what's amazing is when one person gets it, faith starts to jump. It's like that electricity. It just starts to jump. And all of a sudden, people's faith level starts to rise. But I don't know about you. I want to be, when I'm first in line, I want to be the person they come to. Because I want them to see the faith that I have. That I know if God's word is true. It doesn't matter what the sensory world says. It matters what the word says. And if God said it, let it be done. And if God said it, it is. And God is not a man that he should lie. And God is true. Let every man be a liar. The word of God is yea and amen. When you understand that, everything shifts. When you understand that, everything changes. When you don't understand that, you're living by the luck. Luck. Well, I'm hoping it works. The luck of the draw. You can't understand why you're frustrated. I know why you're frustrated. Because you're not walking by faith. You're living your life by the sense world. Now, it's not that the sensory world isn't real. It is real. He said, occupy till I come. But the difference between you and all the rest of the world is you have the ability to change the sensory world. You have the ability to bring it into order. Jesus, when he died on the cross, gave you dominion. What Adam and Eve lost in the garden, God gave back to you through the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have the ability and the authority in the name of Jesus on the earth, under the earth, and above the earth. And man, when you understand that, you can decree things that don't make sense. You can call things into order that don't make sense. You can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt. You shall have what you ask. You see, there's a difference between you and the world, or is there? Or is there? When hell starts licking your toes, are you just like everyone else? Are you a man or woman of faith that's going to say and declare and stand on the word? This is the shifting that has to happen in the body of Christ in these last days. The Bible says that in the last days, the elect will be deceived. Let me tell you how the elect are going to be deceived. Because the church has become so powerless. There is no supernatural to confirm the word of God with signs and wonders following. And people are going to follow the religion. Now, I don't know if you get it or not, but there's churches all over the place now that do not preach the gospel. There's no gospel in their church. Not only is there no gospel in that church, but now they're starting to ordain lesbians and gays. Oh, you're homophobic. No, I'm not. I'm word. And the word says that's sin. We're allowing things that should never happen in the body of Christ happen in the body of Christ. Why? Well, because we don't want to offend anybody. I'm sorry. Jesus said, I came to offend you. And when you walk by faith, you recognize that you're governed by eternity's basis. By the constitution called the word of God. And you learn how to live in a realm that even though you're here, you are not governed by here. Come on now. You are governed by the word of God. You can look at the natural and say, listen now, I know what you look like. I know what they say. But this I know. That's not what he said. And if he said nay, then I say nay. I'm agreeing with God. I'm not agreeing with you. I'm going to stand firm on his word. And no matter what weapon formed against me, it shall not prosper. The laying on of hands, the anointing oil, preaching of the word, preaching. Come on now. Then what do you think I push you to be in the house of God for? Well, you know, he's just watching for attendance. I'm telling you something. You definitely don't know me. You don't know me if you really think that that's what that is. I'm pushing you because I want you to grow up. I'm pushing you because it's time to get your little hiney moving. Can I hear an amen? It's time to get your buttocks, and some of you need a boot. Can I hear an amen? You need a boot so big in your butt that you have to fly. One of my favorite movies, it is my favorite movie, and it is that motorcycle movie called Wild Hogs. And when they went in to slap the bull, pow, they got out of that arena, but that bull unlatched the door. And came and hit his buttocks
and he flew. Baby, sometimes you got to know your pastor loves you, but I want to kick your buttocks. I want to grab you and shake you. I want to beat you with a kind of love of Jesus, of course. But I want you to grow up in Christ. God's got more for you than you're settling for, but you're settling because you choose to live by the senses rather than walk by faith. It's time to say, I'm a person of God, and I walk by faith and not by sight. See, you already have faith, but what are you going to do with it? You got to get sick and tired of where you are. Some of you are not. You know, God loves to bless you. But God will not compete with anything he's blessed you with. God is not going to compete with what he's blessed you with. So pay attention. If what he's blessed you with is taking your attention away from him, don't be shocked when he takes that away from you. Well, I didn't know God took away. Well, you know what? He will, you know what he'll do? He'll step back. When he steps back, guess what happens? You got no protection. Let your God be your survivor. Let your God be your Lord. Let what you put more faith in be the one who provides for you. Some of you have allowed the sensory world to provide for you for so long, and then it dried up. I was with a man when he lost $300,000 when Corning dropped in their stock. I watched him. He sat in his chair and went just like this. Boom. And I said, what happened? He goes, I just lost $300,000. I said, I'd like to find it. I tell you something, his demeanor, I actually got his chair. He gave me his chair as an office chair for years. And you know what? It was slumped to one side. I want you to realize, what side are you slumping to? I walk by faith and not by sight. Some of you are being retrained, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may know the perfect will of God. How do you know the perfect will of God? The perfect will of God is his word. And when you are transformed, you no longer look at what you can see, touch, feel, and sense, but you look at God and say, God, what does your word declare? I stand upon your word and your word alone. And if you do that, I want you to know something. Then you have the ability to say unto this mountain, be thou removed. You can look at your problem, your situation. You notice what I'm doing. I'm looking down at it. Why? Because you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, my Lord. I'm looking down and I'm saying, you have no power over me. You have no authority over me. The word of God is the word, the title deed. And I declare the word above my circumstances in Jesus' name. Some of you aren't desperate enough. You're not determined enough. You're so unwilling to settle. Excuse me. You're so willing to settle. Got to come to a place. You can say you want to be a surfer all you want, but until you buy a board and go near the water, you're not a surfer. Say amen. You can see a pretty little filly, a hot little mama, cute little chick, and you can say hubba, hubba, hubba all you want, but until you go ask her out, you all by yourself. Say amen or am I? You can go to church, be in the literal presence of Jesus Christ himself, and make no connection. Some of you are willing to do that. I'm one of these kind of people. I'm sorry. Get out of my stinking way. Listen, I know I got to preach, but the fact is, I'm going to get to, because I need something from Jesus to be able to give. So you see, I'm not going to give you out of my need. I'm giving you out of my excess. And I can't get my excess until I get what I need from Jesus to fill me up. You see, I want God to fill my cup. I want God to fill me up. I want God to fill me overflowing and supernaturally, that when I get in his presence, listen now, you see me up here sometimes just talking to myself. I ain't talking to myself. Jesus, you're going to move in my life. Get tenacious in the spirit. Expectation is the breeding ground for miracles, because what you expect, you put your faith in. And when you put your faith in, you can call those things or not as though they already are. You'll walk by faith and not by, you'll walk by faith and not by, I walk by and not by, amen. Then you can't change your confession. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Some of you got to make a decision. Some of you think you're on a fence line with God. You're not. You're going to hell. What? Oh, did I offend you? So let me give you the scripture. Let the word offend you. I have somewhat against you, Church of Laodicea. You're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, I'm going to projectile vomit you out of my mouth. I counsel you to buy from me gold. I counsel you to get from me white raiment. I love what he said to the church of Ephesus. He made a declaration. He said, come on now. I have someone against you. You have left your first love. You can't lose your first love. You leave your first love. You love other things more than God. Be zealous, therefore, and repent and return to your first works. Oh, I'll remove your candlestick. There's a time for the church. Let me tell you something. There's a shaking coming to the church. I hope you realize this thing. I'm almost done. We have right now one of the greatest religious attacks against the church we've ever seen in New York State. You don't realize it. Some of you don't agree with it. I don't care if you agree with it or not. It's still one of the greatest religious attacks coming against the church realm, and it's this, that if your children are not immunized, they cannot go to school. Watch this. They cannot even go to Christian school. Which means one attack that is won over the church and demanding, because that's the church, we lose our religious freedoms. They tried this back when I was pastor up in Ithaca, New York, where they brought in the homosexuals as a Proposition 2. We're saying that our youth, no matter what, you had to hire a homosexual when they came and they applied, including church. And the church fought that. Thank God we did. I am not a political pastor in any way, shape, or form. But I want you to wake up, church, because it's time to walk by faith. Our families are going to be attacked in this world. Our families are going to be attacked against our faith in this world. And if you're not strong in faith, you're going to collide. You're going to lose. You got to make decisions in your life. Some of you playing games with God, and God is saying, I ain't playing games with you. This is not about church. This is not about religion. This is about a relationship. This is about walking by faith and not by sight. This is about you being an ambassador. This is about you and I fulfilling God's destiny for our lives. This is about you and I doing the will of God. And Jesus said, you want to know who my brothers and my mothers and my sister are? They're the ones who do the will of my Father. I want you to know today that God's will is for you to walk by faith and not by sight. God's will is for you to say, yes, God, you said it. I'll obey you. I'll do what you want. God, I'll see how you see. I'll do as you do. Jesus, I'll say and speak as you speak. I'm gonna finish with this. I'm ready. Stop. To consult our senses to check our faith is illogical. Say it again. To consult your sense world, your senses. To consult your senses to check your faith level is illogical. The senses are our natural man, not our spiritual man. It would be like telling your ear to see and your eye to hear. It can't happen. So if you don't know this, you're going to constantly struggle because you won't know the will of God for your life. The Bible's clear. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. If you ask anything according to my will, he hears you. And if he hears you, the answer is already on the way. But if you don't know the will,
Well, I'm hoping it's the will of God.
No, the will of God. It changes your life. Jesus, I did what you asked me to do. Lord, you did three things when you walked on this planet. You taught, you preached, and you healed. That's all you did. God, I thank you that you've called me to preach, teach, heal, equip those saints, bring them to unity, bring them to maturity. Father, I've done your will this morning. I've done what you've asked me to do. God, I've done nothing more and nothing less. Lord, you know I want to continue, but God, there's enough power out there right now to change the entire congregation. There are people struggling with things this morning, Jesus, that only you can transform. But I know you've got to have that point of contact, that connection of faith. Holy Spirit, you live in them. I ask that you will help them. I gave them the word. Now you help them. Some are desperate, Jesus. Some are not desperate enough. I pray, God, that we'll all come to the place of actually believing that your word is yea and amen. It is the constitution for the kingdom. And that we'll walk by faith and not by sight. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Today, if you're not right with God, maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or maybe you did and you know you're not right with the Lord. Man, I'm talking like you know it. Listen, there are people out there, I can walk right up to you and slap you in the head. I just want to grab you, slap you in the head and say, I know you're not right with God. You know you're not right with God. Get right with God today. Could be your last day. In the last 2 weeks, I buried a man who was 56 years old. His sons were trying to give him CPR in the kitchen. And I buried a man, part of a funeral this week, of a 41-year-old man. Some of you have grander thoughts that you have all the rest of your life to get right with God, and I'm here to tell you this. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you need Christ as your Savior, you want to get right with the Lord, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. 5-4, thank you, sir. 5-4, thank you, ma'am. 5-4, 3-2-1. Let's all stand to our feet. I want you to know that I gave you great grace this morning because honestly, I don't want to stop. If I got to preach you silly, I'll preach you silly to get faith in you. I love you. Hear me. I genuinely love you. This is not a job for me. Never has been. Never will be. This is about seeing you aspire, seeing you become great in faith, knowing your God. I pray for you. I pray for you this morning. God drops your face in my heart. I pray for you. And if you don't think I know when you're here or not, you're delusional. Oh, no, seriously, you're delusional. I know where you sit because you all kind of sit in the same spot. I go just like this. I have a semi-photographic memory, and I tag who's here and I tag who's not. Sometimes I'll reach out to you during the worship service. Sometimes I'll send somebody to get you. I sent someone to get someone this morning. Why? Because I looked out and didn't see you. Why? Because I love you. And the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. But I choose to walk by and not by. Prayer teams around the front of the altar. Some of you need healing in your body this morning. You need a point of contact. They're going to lay hands on you and God's going to heal you. Is a person you're having kidney problems on your right side? God's going to heal your kidneys this morning. You know that there's constant pain right there. Oh, yeah, I can feel you. Or is that back? I don't know. Doctor, is that kidney or is that? I guess I got to get my books back out. Is it back? Kidneys were over here more? Someone's having back on one side right here.
Come get healed, man. I hate that pain. It hurts. Oh, that's right. I need to pray for you this morning. You ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, I curse cancer in his body. You foul devil. I command you to come out of his body in the name of Jesus. Get ready. Go. God, the next time they check, I thank you, Lord, for the doctors. I thank you for what they're doing to make him well. But God, I pray even today, Lord, they'll start seeing the hand of heaven working in Michael's life in Jesus' name. And Lord, they'll say, we don't understand it. Doesn't make sense. Chemo doesn't get rid of it that quick. But God changed the natural by the supernatural. In that's right, not my name. Go. In Jesus' name. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'd like you to come right on over here. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you want to get right with God. I want you to over here. If you need healing in your body, get up here quick. Let's go. I love you. Come on, if you need healing in your body, Jesus came, taught, preached, and healed. I love you. Have an awesome day. Serve God with all of your heart. Walk by faith. Remember, we're going to give you 3 invitations to hand out to people. If you need healing in your body, get up front right now.